Today, I want to talk to you about turning points. About turning points in our life. I'll share a gospel passage with you shortly. But we titled the theme for today's service, Turning Points. But I've come up with a couple of other possibilities. Because I've got several Bible passages that I'm going to invite you to look up, we could call it turning pages. Alternatively, if we were to use the image of a door, and at times in life as we come to a door, figuratively, metaphorically, we come to a door, we can either open the door and pass through, we can open the door, have a look and decide no, and close the door quickly, or we can just simply say, well, I'm going somewhere else, and not even use the door in the first place. But if you were to use the image of a door, then maybe we could use the image of a hinge to be able to open the door. And I know some people are likely to say, oh, what about sliding doors and all of that sort of thing? Well, just let's turn our minds back to when we didn't have sliding doors. We only had doors that had hinges. And so as another possible title or subtitle, I could say, let's talk about being hinged. And our life, we rely upon using the hinge to be able to move to another place. So therefore, I could subtitle this sermon, Hinged or Unhinged. Because at times, some of the things that happen to us, we end up quite unhinged, don't we? Some of those turning points, they set us with real challenges. Now, how does this fit in with the baptism of Jesus? Well, in many ways, as we'll hear in the Gospel reading shortly, John the Baptist became unhinged during the baptism of Jesus. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to page 957, and it's part of chapter 3 that we'll have a look at. Matthew chapter 3, and we'll just look at the Gospel reading for today, which was set down as verses 13 through to 17. So down towards the bottom of that first column. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan and was baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This was a turning point for John the Baptist. Up until this time, he had been saying to everybody that came to the Jordan River near where he was saying, I am not the Messiah, but I am preparing the way for the Messiah to come. And so when Jesus arrives, he identifies Jesus as the Messiah and says, you should be doing this to me. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus unhinges him. Jesus says to him, no, you are to baptize me. You are to be the one to acknowledge who I am. You've been saying it before, that one greater than I will be here. Now I'm here, you are to proclaim me. You are to baptize me. You are the one to give me the blessing. And once Jesus enters the water, as he's coming up out of the water, then the heavens open and we have the voice and we have the dove, the images of Jesus' baptism and the assurance of what was happening. Now, in many ways, we in the church, in particular churches, might I say, don't always acknowledge what baptism represents. And I know that I'm talking about baptism with water and the Holy Spirit this morning, and I know there are a variety of understandings of just what baptism represents. But I'm going to use the image this morning of baptism as a gift from God. Until Jesus entered the water, all John could do was proclaim that someone was coming. But when Jesus came, the proclamation became real. It became very real. It became lived. It became part of the lived experience. So it was not only a turning point for John, but it was also a turning point for Jesus. And our baptism is supposed to be a turning point for you and I as well. Now, I can tell you nothing at all about my baptism. I was baptized as a small child. I was baptized, as a matter of fact, I can tell you the date, that it was November the 20th, 1946, and that my grandfather died a week later, and that my baptism was actually held on that day so that my grandfather, on my dad's side, could be present at the baptism. But I can only tell you that because that's what I've been told and that's I've read the actual church record. But I can't tell you what it meant. I can't tell you what happened. I can't tell you the significance of it at the time. And I know that there are some present who have been baptized as older people, older in life, and may well be able to remember the actual event and the significance of it. Likewise, those of the tradition that have been confirmed might be able to say a little bit more about what that represented, because in many ways that's the way that the traditional churches look upon baptism and then the confirmation to confirm what happened. However, we have many turning points, many hinge events in our life. And for a moment, I just want to broaden the image and talk about some of the other events in life that are turning points. Times when we have, in some ways, drawn a line in the sand and then we have had to cross that line. When we have had to go past what we expected and our lives were challenged. Here's a couple for you to reflect on for a moment or two. What about a graduation? A graduation as a turning point in our life. And I know, look, I've seen the photographs of our own little grandkids graduating from preschool. You know, they even wear the little water board and they put on the little black robes and they graduate from preschool. Effectively, that's a turning point in their life. They're going from the little school to the bigger school. But really, when they get to the tertiary level of their education, I believe that's when they truly understand what a graduation is about. That it's the completion of a course of study that may have taken many years. Or it may be another turning point would have to be a wedding. Another turning point may be the reverse, when a marriage breaks down or when there's divorce. These are turning points in our life. In many ways, they're circumstances that we are thrust into. While we may reach that door and we open the door and we see what's on the other side, and for some of us, we'd like to be able to slam that door shut. Unfortunately, situations like the death of a loved one, a real turning point that in our lives that impacts upon our life incredibly. What about relocating to a new community? Andrew and Tegan are here this morning as their final service with us. And they're heading off later this week, and we'll give them a special blessing when we come towards the end of our service to be able to commission you guys for the next stage in your lives, for the turning point that you're experiencing. And likewise, as people come into our community, we need to acknowledge those turning points in our lives. We need to be able to welcome people into this community, as indeed we farewell those that are moving from this community to elsewhere. But there may be also some subtle turning points, like reaching a decision. We've just had the New Year's Day. I don't know how many of you made New Year's resolutions. I would tend to describe them as being more subtle changes of our life, because we tend to, who makes a New Year's resolution expecting to keep it for the entire year? I'm not sure. But what about opening a letter from someone and finding some unexpected news? These can be turning points in our life just as much as a major event. And sometimes it may be a decision from within to make a change in the way that we approach a circumstance or a person. What about some of the hinge events that we face in a worshipping community? We have just been through, have we not, a major turning point in our parish's life, with Stuart and Michelle leaving. And I know that there are members present here that will be able to say we've had a series of those turning points. Over the past couple of months, people have commented about Bruce Liger, Bruce Worthington, Kevin Lewis's ministry, the ministry of Michael Martin during the various interregnum periods. So we have, as a parish, gone through times of change that we could call those hinge moments. Here's another one that I thought of. What about changing the furniture? That too can become a turning point for many people. Rearranging the established situation can become very challenging at times for people. What about the building of a new church? People over the last couple of months have also commented about building here, building the hall. These are all turning points within the life of the community. Now, how does that match up with the gospel message for today? Well, you see, John the Baptist did not expect Jesus to come to him and ask to be baptized. John the Baptist had an expectation, if you like, an understanding, that he was the one who was to prepare the way. Now, there are a lot of people in the Bible stories you can't go past. Chapter, hardly. You can't go past a chapter without finding a life-changing experience. Let's see for a moment, and this is where the subtitle of the sermon changes from being the hinges to pages and changing situations. Let's see for a moment how Noah, way back in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it's Genesis chapter 6. If you want to find it in your Bible, it's right at page 6. It's right near the beginning. Let's see how Noah was changed. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. It goes like this, from verse 13. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make for yourself an ark of cypress wood, and then continues on with the specifications for the ark. What a life-changing moment for Noah. What a life-changing moment for the people, for his family, for the earth, for you and I. The fact that Noah was called. Noah reached that life-changing moment, and because he was open to God's instruction and God's guidance, we are here today. What about another one? What about Abraham? Or at the time, if we just go forward a couple of pages to chapter 12 in Genesis, we find the call of Abram. Genesis chapter 12, it says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. A life-changing moment. Was Abram equal to it? Did Abram follow it? Yes. And became Abraham. If I was to say, can anyone name the person who was given the responsibility of leading the people out of slavery? Out of slavery in Egypt, who would that person be?
Moses.
Thank you. Moses. Moses was given that responsibility of leading people out of slavery in Egypt. He was a little reluctant. He had to be convinced of it. But let's see what the first circumstance was with Moses. This is Exodus chapter 3, and it's at page 56. About Bibles. Where we read at chapter 3 of Exodus, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. We may not have that sort of experience in our lives. We may not encounter, literally, the burning bush. But in many ways, for us, the life-changing moments that we respond to can be the metaphorical burning bush, where God calls to us out of that turmoil, out of that unexpected event. God calls us to step out and to go forward in the same way as Abram, in the same way as Noah, were called to go forward. Now, I don't want to spend all of the time in the Old Testament, but there's a young guy, a guy called Jeremiah, one of the prophets of the Old Testament. And these words come on page 746 in the first chapter of Jeremiah, the prophet. We're at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. that particular verse resonates with Psalm 139. And those of you that know Psalm 139, you can look it up later if you like. I won't give you the page reference now. But it reminds us that God knows us even when we are being knit together in our mother's womb. That when we were being formed in secret, and nobody knew we were there, in our mother's womb, God knew us. And God formed us. And there is Jeremiah with similar images. So, you know, you may have thought that getting up out of bed this morning and coming to church was your idea. Yes, it was. But before you even thought of it, guess who thought of it before you? The one who even knows the word before it's on our tongue. The one who guides us through our turning points. God has guided each one of these people through turning points. And as I said, I don't want to spend all of the time in the Old Testament, although it is a very rich mine. What about Paul? What about Paul's Damascus Road experience in the New Testament in Acts chapter 9, where Paul is breathing out murderous threats against the Christians? Well, he wasn't calling them Christians. They didn't even call themselves Christians at the time. But he was breathing out threats against the followers of the way. And he was going to Damascus to cause havoc among them. And then he had a Damascus Road experience, as we call it today. He had a turning point in his life. And many of us will be able to say, yes, I can identify a turning point in my life when I took the Lord Jesus into my life. And I accepted him as my Saviour. Some people will be able to say, yes, I had a conversion at a particular time, and they will be able to name the event, the turning point in their life. Others will say, well, for me, it was sort of like a one-way road where I walked for quite some time, and then I came to realise what the Lord Jesus Christ had come to mean to me. It would be my prayer that everyone would have an experience of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Because you see, when we talk about these turning points, we can look upon the hinge, or we can become unhinged. If we endeavour to do something in our own strength, then it will come to naught. But if we acknowledge that Jesus is walking with us and guiding us through our lives, then we will be in a much better place. Jesus uses the image of the door, that he's knocking at that door, the door of our heart. And if we would open that door, if we let that door swing on its hinge and we invite the Lord Jesus into our lives, he will come and he will live with us and he will guide us through the turning points. Now, I've got several other references, but I'm not going to use them because I acknowledge the time. There is one, however, that I cannot leave, and that is, well, if we're going to share, if we, like Abraham, are going to share the blessing that we have received, and baptism is a blessing, it's meant to be a blessing, it's meant to be a gift, it's meant to be used, if we are going to use that blessing that we have received, then we are going to have some idea as to what we're going to say, or how we're going to say it. And in one of the supplementary Bible readings for today, we have something that St. Peter says. It's found on page 1089. 1089. And it's from Acts chapter 10. It's a few verses. I won't read them all, but it starts at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Now, just going down to the very last verse of the alternate reading, which is verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. We began our worship asking for God's forgiveness. We should do that every day. Even when we are unaware that we may have done something wrong, we need to ask for forgiveness. Because when we think we haven't done anything wrong, we are doing it in our own strength. But when we acknowledge that we have a partner walking with us, walking in us, and living through us, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, he is the one that will help us through those turning points of life. He will do it in a way at times that we will least expect, but he will do it. Jesus will be our companion. He will be with us all the time, through every turning point in our life. And you know what? He even knows why. He knows why the turning point has come. And when we call out, why is this happening? We will receive the answer. Even Jesus himself asked why on the cross, and he received the answer. And he became the Savior of the world. And through him, we have life. And we have life the way that God wants us to have life.